Berlanders, and we're back. I have Alex Zlatan on the line. Now, Alex is the author of the book Responsible Dental Ownership, but he's also had more than 10 years of management experience in businesses, and he basically practices with businesses to reach the next level of success in terms of training, in terms of educating, basically to make managers better managers. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, April.
So I'm fascinated with this topic, and the topic being employee turnover can be a major problem for a lot of businesses, from major retailers to mom and pop shop stores and to medical provider offices, because those are all businesses, right, that you have to work with and you have to manage. Now, you say here that the trick for managers is to create an environment where employees are trained so well that they could leave for another job if they wanted to, but are treated so well that they choose not to leave. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, the reality is, regardless of what background people come to work, whether educational or employment, they learn a lot of things on the job. And they have a certain learning curve and certain potential to reach. And I believe that people need to be able to not just do the daily grind, but also learn new things and grow professionally. Otherwise, they just lose interest and it just becomes, you know, a place you go away from your family and just waiting for the clock to hit five to go home. And I just feel that work needs to be something, a really engaging component in your day-to-day life.
So how do you suggest that business owners help their employees grow?
Well, there's a couple of things. So there are things that managers and leaders need to do from how they mentor and manage the employees. So, for instance, I learned through trial and error and a lot through experience that if your employees come to you with a problem and you just give them the answer, it contributes really little to their professional growth. And then there's becomes such a dependency relationship where they just stop thinking about solutions and they just go to the manager because they have the answer. And then it also removes all responsibility from them. So in that regard, what I learned is you need to invest time in having conversations and guiding the employee to think about the problem so they can come up with a solution themselves. So it creates basically an environment where they think that they've solved all the problems, and it strengthens their self-confidence in that way.
That makes sense, because if you are constantly going to somebody else for the solution, that wouldn't do anything for your self-confidence. It would actually deplete it if you think about it.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? On the other side, in the environment itself, I believe that continuous education is very important. So, for instance, what I
agree.
In our company, every year we reimburse employees up to $500 or any type of continuous education that they have taken throughout the year. So it can be, you know, we do a lot of IT, so tech support and everything. You would think that as an employer, you would say, okay, so if you take continuous education in your field, then we would reimburse you. And I'm saying, no, if you are passionate about cooking, go and take some sort of continuous education in that, because that's what you're passionate about. And there are definitely transferable skills that we as an employer would benefit from you doing that particular program. So we reimburse for whatever continuous education employees decide to take.
Okay. And you talk about in your books turnover and the causes for turnover. Now, that can be, of course, low morale. There could be, you know, the business isn't doing well. The internal politics are really bad. But what kind of problems does turnover cause for a business?
Well, I guess the most obvious that all the business owners listening to us right now can relate to is you have someone who is leaving, and they are leaving with the knowledge that they have acquired, the relationships with the clients, and now you have a void that you need to fill. So it creates a lot of you know, stress on the colleagues who need to step up and cover for that employee who left. There's a lot of investment in terms of time and money of training new employees to even become on par with the employee who left. So those are kind of the things on the surface. But there's another psychological aspect to it when an employee leaves is what other employees and colleagues think in terms of their own job security and how that affects their performance and customer service if they are customer facing or have customer facing positions. So employee turnover is never good. It is sometimes acceptable if the company has a very clear purpose that identifies why you know, people should come to work and why this business exists. There's a misalignment between an employee and that particular purpose. If this is managed properly, it's actually a beneficial thing for the company, for that employee to depart. Although there is some temporary inconvenience with the need to hire someone and find the right fit and everything. But in the long run, it's definitely a benefit for a business to just keep the employees who understand the purpose and are in line with it.
Yeah, and do you think that high turnover is also a sign that business is bad?
You know what, that's a really good question. And the answer to it is you know, it's not something conclusive. I think, you know, if the leadership of a company has gone into this transformation of a company, and now they are redefining what is the purpose, what are our core values, and are building a strong team, then there's definitely going to be turnover, and it's not necessarily bad. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the company is in bad shape.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But on the other hand, if, you know, sales are slow, customers are leaving, there's a lot of refunds, everyone, you know, is quiet, there's no laughter around, and people are just, instead of talking this, you know, water cooler talk and everything, instead of that, they're sending emails, then there's something really wrong with the company and the culture, and that requires a lot of attention.
Yeah, absolutely. I find the business environment fascinating, and all the different facets that go on and how they operate together and how difficult it really is to run a business, especially a medium or large company. I mean, there's so many moving parts. And that's that leads me to my next question. When you have a business of that caliber or a company of that caliber with, you know, well over 250, 300, 400, you know, 1,000 employees, how do you make or mentor your employees to be better employees? You were talking about training earlier, and you know, I really want to shed some light on this and give some advice to business owners listening. Like, what are some of the do's and don'ts for mentoring employees so they get the best positive outcome?
Well, I think for larger businesses, when you're talking about 200, 300, 400 employees, you can't do everything yourself. So I think it all starts with having the right team, right? So it all starts from leadership. The person who leads the company needs to act and behave according to the core values every day. The people, the higher management, middle management, all the people who are supposed to do the mentoring and are supposed to, you know, get all the information from the leadership roles to their teams, they all need to be on the same page in terms of what it is that we're doing, how we're going to do it, and why we do it. And all of that needs to communicate directly to the employees without things getting lost in translation.
All right, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, I will continue the conversation with Alex Zlatan. He is talking about business and responsible business ownership and responsible employee management strategies. When we come back.
94. Since 1925, we've been sharing wonderful relationships with generations of customers just like you. I'm Noah Tepperman. To celebrate our 94th anniversary, every item in every department store-wide is reduced. Sofas and sectionals up to 27% off, up to 40% off every mattress set, and up to 25% off every bedroom set. And many more amazing deals on dining sets, appliances, and electronics. Don't forget, Tepperman's flexible financing options let you take home your new items today. Details in store.
Family to family, that's the difference.
Say goodbye to the bargain annex and hello to the outlet at Tepperman's. We've slashed prices on every single piece of scratch and dent furniture up to 75% off. The outlet at Tepperman's. Great styles, great prices, and so much more. Visit us in store or online at Tepperman's.com.
Make it Tepperman's.
How Bell makes watching TV better.
Wow, your TV's picture quality is incredible.
It's Bell Satellite TV.
Wow, you have all the best channels.
I know, it's Bell.
Wow, the sound is really loud. Let me guess, it's...
The Neighbor! He's in a heavy metal band! Subscribe to Bell Satellite TV and enjoy stunning picture quality, our exclusive HD PVR, and access to over 200 channels on all your devices with the Fibe TV app. Call 310-BELL or visit bell.ca for details. Bell, watching TV just got better.
Imagine an endless aisle of wine, beer, and spirits with over 7,500, yes, 7,500 products to choose from. That's what you'll find at lcbo.com. A huge selection of everyday favorites, rare and exclusive finds, and everything in between. Whatever your occasion, you can shop online or download our app. And from March 3rd to March 9th, you can get your order shipped free right to your door. Yes, free, right to your door. Minimum purchase required. Here's to the convenience of online shopping at LCBO.
Get ready, Windsor, to get your hats on for healthcare. Now in its 10th year, Hats On for Healthcare has raised approximately $300,000 in support of Windsor Regional Hospital. And you can contribute to this growing amount on Tuesday, March 5th, throughout Windsor, Essex. Wear your unique head attire, make a donation, and take part in the entertaining activities to help raise funds. And from 10 to 2, join Leah Hansen at the Metropolitan Campus. For details, visit hatsonforhealthcare.com.
Bedroom Depot, the only place to buy all your bedroom furniture in Windsor with over 60 mattresses on display. Also 40 bedroom suites and 10 different adjustable beds. Bedroom Depot, we're great in beds on Walker Road. For your local news, weather, and sports, go to am800cklw.com.
Work day or rest day.
I just love how it sets my day.
Sunday Morning Live on AM 800 with April Anderson.
On the next show at 8 o'clock, we'll talk end of winter events, then to Kristen Siapis for University Players Next production. At 9, Tall Tale Theater is back. Actor and production manager Eric Raje will be in studio to talk about the upcoming season, followed by a fashion expert for spring. For 10, the cast and crew of the upcoming Arts Collective Theater production of The Wiz, they'll sing for us live in studio. Join me, April Anderson, Sunday, 8 a.m. to 11 on AM 800. Talking to Alex Zlatan. Now, he's the author of the book Responsible Dental Ownership, but he's also talking about management experience and what you can do to become better managers, more responsible leaders with better strategies. All right, welcome back, Alex.
Good morning, April.
How important is employee feedback, like just regular employees, not managers, in getting across the message like, hey, I'm not getting what I want from my manager. Maybe they don't know they're doing it right, or maybe they could do it this way and be taken seriously. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%, and you're right. And this is why, for instance, in my company, it's very important to be transparent and in both directions. I will tell an employee if they've done something that is incorrect and work with them to figure out how to prevent this in the future, but I expect the same thing from them. I expect that if I've done something wrong or I didn't do something I had to, I want them to walk right in and say, look, I need this and you haven't done this. And I love that type of interaction, almost removing all of the hierarchy pillars and saying we don't have any hierarchy here and you don't need to get through all of this red tape. Let's just have a conversation and let's do the things that make sense to our clients. Kind of the environment that you have to facilitate. And obviously, you know, in bigger companies, you can't completely remove all the hierarchy because it's just, it gets out of hand.
Yeah.
But having that transparency through all of the levels is very, very important. And the way to do it is to
How do employees do that who are below management?
Well, the employees will only do it if they feel comfortable doing it. So if someone, you know, went and gave feedback to management and they were fired a month after, you understand that that's going to trickle down and no one's going to go and give feedback to management ever again, at least not in the next year. So the idea is you need to create the managers and the leadership must create an environment where everyone can share feedback. And you don't need to do this anonymously. No, if you want to give feedback, it means you as an employee, you care enough about the company to make it better. You care enough about the employee. And this is very important. And all management and leadership must have that feedback from the customer-facing employees to get that feedback, to get better and provide better services and products. So that environment needs to be facilitated to make sure that the employees feel comfortable and are actually rewarded for bringing new ideas, for bringing challenges that the customers are facing to be able to actually become a better company and evolve and not just, you know, say that we're an evolving, growing company just because you want to say it.
Yeah, and you know, Steve Jobs always said, he has a famous quote, "I don't hire smart people so I can tell them what to do. I hire smart people so they can tell me what to do." And yeah. I think that a lot of times people need to take that advice and use it. I mean, I myself, if I see that there is an issue or a problem and it can be solved and it can better the business as a whole, I'll say something or I'll write an email, but I'll be very eloquent. And I think the way you write emails and the way you say things makes all the difference. Like, if I know that we can do something better, I will address it to the appropriate person, and I'm not afraid to do that. And I think that when you do something and you make a decision to say, hey, maybe we could do this because this is happening, and you've really solved a problem or helped solve a problem, I think the chances of you losing your job for doing that are pretty nil. If you're directing it to the right person and you're not centering anybody else and you're just, hey, just wanted to let you know this happened and, you know, maybe we could do it this way because I found, you know what I'm saying? And if you're solution oriented and they see that you're trying to help and not take away from the business, I think it oftentimes has a positive outcome. Do you think so?
It's tricky. It depends on how the company is structured.
I
want to be positive and say, yeah, you know what, if you do the right thing, you do it the right way, good things happen. The reality is what you said earlier, there's a lot of bad managers, and you're right. And bad managers, you know, want to keep the status quo. But we live in an environment where things change so rapidly, and companies that keep the status quo just, you know, become irrelevant.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
That's not what we want. So I would like the future to have the best managers so they can create great environments and people can reach their potential. And that's what, you know, at least I'm playing my little part in helping dentists and office managers in dental offices kind of realize this and create that environment. But I think we still have a really long way to go.
So do you work with different businesses or just dental, just the medical field, or would you, you know, have the credentials to work with other businesses outside of that field?
I guess I have the credentials to work with whomever, but the reality is because...
Experience, I should say. Experience.
Yeah, well, the experience is more tunneled towards dental clinics because I have been working with them for over 6 years now and been guiding them very closely in, you know, their own individual journeys.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, tunneling all of the business experience and education into this niche market creates a very unique perspective. And the reality is dentists are very, very smart people and they're very good at what they do in terms of, you know, being physicians. But they don't get any of the business education in school.
No, they don't. That's the one thing they're not always adept at, which is okay. Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, they can pretty much get the business and management experience by making a lot of mistakes. But I just think that those mistakes can be avoided.
Absolutely. So do you, I mean, on the whole, would you say, hey, managers, you know, whether it's a dental practice or, you know, you have a shoe shop or, you know, a bigger company, would you say, hey, you know, try to be open to constructive feedback, even from employees, because it could benefit you down the road? Do you think that's good advice?
I think that is amazing advice. I can tell you from, you know, my own experience. When I started managing people some 10, 11 years ago, I was a horrible manager. But the difference between a good manager and a bad manager is a good manager learned from their mistakes through their journey, and a bad manager did not. So getting that feedback, analyzing and doing a retrospective on what happened when it failed, but also doing a retrospective of what happened when it succeeded and learning from that, that is what brings you the experience. It's not how many years you've been a manager. So it's a learning experience, and I learn new things every day. And I think that's what separates the successful ones from the ones that employee says, oh, I had the worst manager here.
The ones that are open to learning and growing and realizing, oh, maybe I was wrong there, and reassessing, and maybe not openly admitting it to everybody, but at least being open to the fact like, hey, you know what, I can learn something too here, or I hadn't realized that. And being open to hearing other people out.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, showing vulnerability and saying everyone, you know what, yeah, I made a mistake. It just makes you a human being, and it makes you creating those relationships with the employees easier. So I don't think it's a bad idea if you made a mistake to say, you know what, I made a mistake, sorry, but now I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's human nature, so why would we hide it?
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think being vulnerable and open and admitting when you've done something wrong as a manager, I actually think that shows a lot of confidence. And I actually also think that it cultivates trust and respect between employee and manager.
Yeah, I agree. It creates an environment where it's okay to make a mistake as long as you learn from it and evolve and become better.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, employees have to understand their position too and not overstep the mark. You know, I think it's you know, if you're an employee and you want to give feedback, I think that there's a way of communicating and you know, a delicate way at times, and maybe a direct way at times. It just really depends on the person you're communicating with. That's what I've found in my experience. I mean, I don't always give my feedback, of course, but once in a while when it's like, well, you know, I feel like I want to bring this up because I feel like maybe we could do it better or just address it. And but it's not often. But I mean, I found it's been met, you know, most times positively.
Yeah, so. A lot of times, providing feedback is also a way of art. So you need to do it based on your level of relationship with a certain individual, with whose feelings you're going to hurt, and you know. In the interim and stuff like that. So it's an interesting thing, and business is fascinating that way, because you would think, you know, you go do business school for like 3 years and you come out, you start managing people and you're a manager, but you just start learning about all of these small things just when you start managing, and it's so many moving parts that there's never a dull moment.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, business I find fascinating. I love talking about business because there's always an element of risk in business, albeit calculated risk. But as an entire operation, there's always going to even be risk in how you communicate things to people to get things done. You know, like you have to say things so the momentum drives the business, because the momentum is the employees and their actions and their behaviors and how they build and grow.
Yeah, and I think another part that a lot of companies miss out on is, you know, they want to create an environment where they listen to employees, which is important. But I think they're missing the component where they have to listen to their customers.
Yeah.
Create a special mechanism to actually listen to what their customers are saying and adapt their business accordingly to constantly provide more and more value to
the
clients.
I could not agree more, because if you have a customer somebody who's not happy or, you know, is expressing that unhappiness to you and you're not taking them seriously, well, you know, that's a problem because that can spread like wildfire.
Yeah, and especially for managers. If managers and leaders don't listen to the clients, then they can't expect their employees to listen to them.
Right, right. All right, Alex, we have to wrap this up. I thank you so much for this fascinating conversation and taking the time to talk with me this morning.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, okay, so I wish you the best of luck, and I'm just going to read your little quote by you here. The result is that employees end up not knowing what they should be doing, how they should be doing it, what goals to achieve, and how they fit into an organization. Now, that's if there's, you know, a high turnover rate. That's a side effect. But you say real leadership is the dual ability to make sure your team is able to succeed combined with mentorship to give them the feeling they've succeeded because of their own efforts. This strengthens their self-confidence and allows them to continuously grow and learn more, because the more they grow and learn, the more their self-confidence grows and the more they believe they can achieve. I love that.
So
I'll leave the audience with that quote by you. And Alex, what's your latest book that you've written about this?
So Responsible Dental Ownership. Okay. That's the book, Balancing Business and Ethics Through Purpose.
Okay, awesome. So for those of you listening out there, if you have dental practice, there you go. There you go. Responsible Dental Ownership. Pick it up. Okay, Alex, have a great morning.
Thank you.
Okay.
You as well.
Okay. All right. I'm April Anderson. We'll be back in